2015. Thank you for your support. Thank you for feeding. Thank you for protection. Thank you for journey mercies. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for favor. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our children. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for expansion. Thank you for growth. Thank you for assistance. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for knowledge. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for good health. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for peace. Thank you for all your favor over this nation. Father, we thank you. To you alone be all the glory. Father, we have come this morning into your presence. I ask this morning that you will speak through me to bless your people in the name of Jesus. And we promise to return all the glory to you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let's give Jesus a big clap offering, everybody. Let's give him a big, 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 big clap offering. Please go around and welcome at least three people into God's presence and tell them you are welcome. 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 And then you may please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege to see your beautiful and handsome faces again in this brand new year. Hallelujah. God has spared your life. He has spared my life to see yet another year. We had about 50-something Sundays last year. And God in his mercy spared you and I in all those Sundays. And God has brought you here again. To him alone be all the glory. We thank him for what he did in the crossover night. We thank him for what he started doing yesterday at the beginning of the 12 days of empowerment. You were here yesterday night for the opening session and you were blessed. Shout hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. If you were not here last night, you missed. It was a great, great time in God's presence. We had the introduction to overflowing grace. And it was a great time. I want to encourage you to please be a part of this grace fast going on presently. We started yesterday officially. And the fast continues today. And will end on the 13th of this month. We meet every day at 5:30 p.m. to pray. And I trust God that in these 12 days, somebody is going to encounter God. In the name of Jesus. It's my privilege to welcome everybody here and to express our gratitude to God for his kindness and his support in the last 1 year. Indeed, in the last 12 months, God has blessed this ministry immensely. We shared just 24 out of the numerous testimonies that God has been giving to us on the crossover night. And they are so amazing. They are so wonderful. We trust God for a fresh encounter this year. In the name of Jesus. I trust God that in this particular year, somebody here will encounter God in the most dramatic manner. In the name of Jesus. If you are that person, let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. We are trusting God that all our brethren that have traveled from today, many people will begin to return. And we are trusting God that God will bring them back safely in Jesus' mighty name. Again, I wish you a happy, happy, happy 2016. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Attaining greatness via overflowing grace is the topic this morning. Our 2016 Thanksgiving is on the 17th. However, we have the opening Thanksgiving today, which is the first Sunday of the month. Okay, but we are going to have another Thanksgiving on the 17th of this month. Okay, so we have two Thanksgiving Sundays this month. That's what it means. So this month, this particular Thanksgiving Sunday, it actually falls into the fasting period. So we'll also move on in our grace series with the topic, Attaining Greatness via Overflowing Grace. Our God is a great God. According to Psalms 135 verse 5, our God is a great God. One of the qualities of God is that he is a great God. For I know that the Lord is great and that our God is above all gods. There is no God anywhere that is as great as our God. He is greater than the greatest. There is no throne that is as enviable as the throne of our God. None as great as him. None can be greater than him. There's a song, nobody great, nobody great, nobody's greater than you. That is, nobody is greater. There is nobody that you can run to that can solve a problem for a man than this God. He's so great. And because he's great, as a child of God, you deserve to be great. The genes of a rat flows in rats. The genes of lion flows in lions. The gene of a rabbit flows in rabbit. The genes of children of God must flow in them. Because you are a God. According to Psalms 82 verse 5 to 7. You are a God. God made you a small God. You are here to dominate. You are here to be in charge. And so your greatness is sure. For somebody here today, I see you becoming a great person in the name of Jesus. Let's look at verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. Because of our time. I have said, you are God's, and all of you are children of the Most High. So, because you are a child of God, you are also a God. You are meant to be great. So, this year, you are going to be great. And it is grace from God that makes great. What is grace? We started the definition of grace yesterday. I gave you our 5 yesterday. But because of our time this morning, I'll just give you 1 or 2 definitions of grace. What is grace? Grace means God's riches. That is G, God's, R, riches, A, art, C, Christ, and E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means giving a man the riches of God at the expense of his only son. Grace means God. G means God. R means riches. A means art. C means Christ. And E means expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That is, Christ was poor so that you can be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. So, Christ was rich. But so that you can be rich and become great, he became poor. So, if you are poor again, it means Christ is suffering 2 times. Christ was rich, but he became poor, so that you can become rich. God's riches at Christ's expense. He was cursed, so that you can be blessed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Everyone who was hung on a tree is cursed. Christ was hung on a tree and he was cursed so that you can become a blessed person. Christ had redeemed us of the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree. So Christ was hung on a tree so that you will not be cursed. There is somebody here this morning, you will begin to flow in blessings. I say you will begin to flow in blessings. He was bruised so that you can be healthy. He was sick so that you will not be sick. He was bleeding so that you will not bleed again. So, you know, I always say this. Accident is not permitted to be the portion of any member of this commission. Christ already shed blood. Your blood can't be shed on any street. So when you are traveling, go with the confidence that Christ is in this car. And this car can't have a problem. They can't collide with you and you can't collide with somebody. For somebody here today, throughout 2016, your journey shall be safe throughout. Also, Christ began to sweat so that you can taste sweet. He was bringing out sweat profusely so that your own life can become sweet. I'm taking you somewhere this morning because If you are not great, you are not of Christ. Christ's desire is to make you great. You were destined to be great. You were destined to be great. You were destined. Put your hands on your chest and say, I am destined. I am programmed. I am wired to be great. Some of us cannot even say it because we are not sure. You see, don't look at the way 2015 was to determine this year. Anything that has kept your mouth from speaking into your own life has kept you on the same spot. Put your hands on your chest and say, I am destined. I am programmed. I am wired to be great in life. So, your divine wiring is for greatness. And this greatness comes via grace, which we call overflowing grace. And quickly this morning, I want to show you, without wasting our time, how does grace from God make a man great? How does the grace from God make a man great? What is the situation? What is the matrix? What is the calculation that makes a man become great through the grace of God? Number one, the grace of God has the power to suspend protocol for a man so that he can be great. Suspension of protocol. Suspension of protocol. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 1, there's a story there of when God rejected Saul. God told Prophet Samuel, he said, how long will you continue to mourn over Saul? Samuel, how long will you continue to mourn over Samuel, over Saul? I have rejected him. I have prepared for myself another king in the house of Jesse. God rejected Samuel, Saul, and brought him down. And he said, Samuel, there is another person I want to make great. Naturally, you should expect that this person should be somebody who has been involved in great things before. Naturally, you should expect that the person that God should pick should be somebody who has been involved in kingship, who has been a royal person. You should expect that it should be somebody that is sitting around the front row. No. God suspended protocol because of a man called David. When Prophet Samuel appeared in that house and said, bring all your sons, they began to bring them out one by one. Great men in their own little right, Eliab, Shammah, Abinadab, which were strikingly handsome people, very tall, very huge. In fact, the prophet of God was deceived. He said, it must be this Eliab. It must be this guy. How can somebody be this handsome and he say he's not the king? God said, forget it. Forget it. This is not the person I've chosen. I have rejected him. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the face. I have rejected this young man. And they brought the others, and they brought all the others, another seven of them. God said, no. And of course, you know, the prophet said, God cannot lie. He said, there's none of these people is a person that I want to make great. He said, are you sure you don't have another son? He said, actually, there's one of them, but I don't think it can be that one because he likes to keep sheep. As I'm talking to you now, he's in the bush. He's taking care of sheep. He said, we will not sit down until that person that you said is at the back comes here. And an entourage was sent to go and fetch David. And the Bible says, immediately David came in, the oil was poured on him and he was anointed. This was the beginning of beginnings for David. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care. I don't know the level you are now. I don't know the status to which you came into 2016 with. But I can tell you that God can suspend protocol for you. God can suspend protocol for you. He can take you from the very back where you have always been to the very front. I've told you in the past, if you remember, that favor call is superior to protocol. Favor of God is more cogent than protocol. Protocol means from level to level, from one level to another, primary 1 to primary 2, primary 2 to primary 3. That's protocol. Favor call is moving from nobody. Nobody knew you in 2015. But in 2016, your case is spoken of in every home. So we have never seen this kind before. That was also the case of a lady called Esther. Esther enjoyed suspension of protocol. Esther was an orphan. No father, no mother, no helper. She only had an uncle who would barely manage to help her once in a while if he had, he had his own children anyway. But God decided to suspend protocol for this lady. And God chose her to replace the queen that was dethroned. And the Bible says in Esther chapter 2 verse 17 that she obtained grace. This was the beginning of the greatness of Esther. She obtained grace and favor. Esther chapter 2 verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace. Somebody say grace. There's something about this grace. And she obtained grace, and this grace produced favor. If you were here last night, I told you that you can have favor and not have grace. But you can't have grace and not have favor. Because you can use bribery to collect favor. You can use some other methods for people to change things for you. But you can't have grace and you won't attract favor. No. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight. More than all of them had the same qualifications. The same qualification. The same were virgins. But one obtained grace. I speak prophetically this morning that there is somebody here this morning amongst your friends, amongst the people you have the same certificate, among the people you have the same qualification. You are the one that will obtain grace this year. I say you are the one that will obtain grace this year. I say you are the one that will obtain grace this year. Let me hear your loudest amen. So that he set royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You are going to take your throne this year. You are going to take your throne this year. The second thing, I'm talking about how can grace make you great. I said number one, grace will suspend protocol. Number two is that grace will give you access to mysteries. Grace will give you access to mysteries. Job was a man of mysteries. In Job 29 verse 24, as I was in my youth, when the secret of the Lord was revealed unto me. Job was a man of mysteries. No wonder he was the greatest man in the East. The secret of God was revealed unto Job. The secret of the Lord was revealed unto Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, Paul also explains this very well. You know, Paul never had a close interaction with Jesus Christ. He was actually a persecutor. But he was the most relevant and still the most relevant disciple till now. Let us see how Paul was made. Because you see, you know the secrets of men when you read their stories. When you want to know how a man is great, just read the person's story. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. The grace of God will not be in vain in your life. Was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them, than they all, yet not I, but the grace. It's not because of my labor. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, it's not by labor, it's not by running around, it is by grace. Paul was a man of in-depth mysteries. Men could not understand him. I return and sunder the sun, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance have led to them all. So Paul was a man of intense revelation because of the grace of God. He had access to mysteries. When he spoke, other disciples were aghast. When he spoke, other disciples were surprised. Where are you getting this depth of revelation from? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 to 9 also explains this about how Paul was able to access depths of mysteries. The next person that will experience mysteries is you in the name of Jesus. Unto me, can you see that? Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. He said, I'm the least. Paul said, I'm the least to be qualified.
of all the saints. Is this grace given? I'm not qualified for anything. I'm the least. I was the most terrible sinner out of all the disciples. However, that's why the Bible says the last shall become the first. That will become your portion this year. I said that will become your portion this year. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Can you see that? As a result of the grace, he accessed mysteries which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God who created all things by Christ. You see, Paul had access to, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. His name is still being mentioned till today, everywhere. There is hardly any sermon you will preach without mentioning the name of Paul. He had depths of insight. He had depths of insight. He had depths of insight. Till this world will end, they will never stop talking of Paul because of the mysteries of grace upon his life. Place your right hand on your head and say, oh God, release to me the mysteries of grace. Release to me the mysteries of grace. Release to me the mysteries of grace. Paul assessed this mystery. You can't talk much about New Testament without mentioning Paul because of the mysteries of grace available to him. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to me. It's enough for you. You might not have much certificates. You might not know many people. You might not have much connection. You might not have traveled to many countries. But grace is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. The grace of God is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. If you have grace, you have sufficiency. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If there is anything you must not lose in life, it's the grace of God. The loss of the grace of God is the loss of destiny. Once you lose the grace of God, you have lost your destiny. For somebody here today, you will never lose God's grace. I say you never lose God's grace. Jacob also had access to these mysteries. Unusual insight. Unusual revelation. Unusual insight that nobody ever thought of before came as a result of Jacob because he had unusual mysteries. You are the next, this generation will be celebrating. I said, your name is the next name this generation will be celebrating. Listen, either the devil likes it or not, you are going to be great. I say, either the devil likes it or not, you are going to be great. The Bible says, my beginning may be small, but my latter end shall greatly increase. Your beginning might be very small. Maybe you are like me, from a very humble background. Wait. A very humble growing up years. See, when I see people who have challenges when they are growing up, I remember my own time too. My father, a retired teacher. My mother, a retired nurse. With many, many, many months on end without salary. The issue of salary payment didn't start now. We were part of the people that tested it. Up to 9-10 months without salary. I know how morning beans, afternoon beans, and night zero, how it is like. I know what it's like. I remember I've told you this story before. There was a time things were so tough for us. There was nothing to eat. My mother packed her clothes and went to Makbo in Ibadan to sell the clothes and came back with yam. And I was crying. When she was going, I held her. I said, no, you can't go. She said, you want to go mobile? I must go. And she went, she sold the clothes, came back with some money and with yam. I can never forget. And as she laid the yam on the table, I was weeping profusely. Carry your clothes to go and sell so that your children can eat. Because you are working but no salary. 9 months, 10 months upward. And you still have to go to work. Friends, it doesn't matter how tough things are for you today. Your tomorrow shall be all right. I say your tomorrow shall be all right.
I say your tomorrow shall be all right.
I'm sent to you by God to prophesy into your tomorrow that your tomorrow shall be all right. Number three thing that grace can do to make you great is that grace will give you direction. 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 Every directed person is an engraced person. God directs those whom he engraces. Any man or woman that you see that has access to direction, he has access to grace. One of the greatest things that God can do for you is to direct you. Psalms 32 verse 8. I will direct you. I will lead you in the path to follow. I will guide you with my own eyes. Now listen to this. Men of God, please always crave for God's direction. God's direction and instruction is the gateway to your success. The destruction of the destroyed is that of misdirection. You say, Abraham, what made Abraham? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. And God spoke to Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house, out of thy mother's house, into a place that I will show you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. That was the secret of Abraham. And verse 4. Genesis 12 verse 4. And Abraham departed. Abraham is still being referred to till today because Abraham was a directed person. Until the devil can misdirect you, he can get you. Until the devil can misdirect you. See, can you imagine somebody that is going to Abuja and going to for a meeting? Or you are going to the embassy in Abuja and you have an appointment at the embassy for 4 p.m. You now left Ilorin 4 a.m. in the morning. But you now ask somebody, please, where is the road to Abuja? He said, you are going to Abuja. There's no problem. Take Ogumosho. From Ogumosho, take Oyo. From Oyo, when you get to Ibadan, from Ibadan, there's a place to Ife. And Ife, you can't meet your appointment. Now listen to this. In that Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 to 4, God directed Abraham. But by the next chapter, if you read that place very well, I don't have more time this morning because of our time. Abraham was like a nobody at that particular place. He was still in his father's house at that age. He was nobody to reckon with. Abraham was like a nonentity. But by Genesis 13 verse 2, Abraham was already rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. It's like in December you were a nobody, in January you already a somebody. In December he was not directed, he entered January with direction. Friends, this year every single day God will direct you. Somebody in chapter 2, a nobody in his father's house, Abraham, come and go and pour this dustbin away for me now. Abraham, what are you three doing there? You should have mopped this kitchen now. Abraham, what is going on? You have not cleaned the poo-poo of this cattle. In verse 12, but because of direction, in chapter 12, but because of direction, next chapter, it was already being celebrated with. And in those days, if you have cattle, you have silver, you have gold, you have it. That is what signified the Dangotes of those days. Friends, it is your name we are going to be mentioning next. I say it is your name you are going to be mentioning next. I heard the story of how Dangote became what God made him to become. But I believe you can become nothing except God wants you to be. I believe he was directed. Because he was in a plane, in a small aircraft, trying to travel to a particular, I think from Kano to Lagos or so. And then Bishop Benjamin Dayosa came in with some white guys who were supposed to travel, and they needed a seat for somebody. And they said, please, can anybody here give us a seat? And immediately everybody brought out newspaper. They're reading newspaper and started behaving as if they are deaf. You know the way people do as when they don't want to respond? As if, you know, all of a sudden they form busy. May you not form busy when it's time for you to become great. And then God said, you need a seat. It means I can't go today. I will come down. And then the bishop of blessed memory, a fantastic man, blessed him and say, "What's your name?" He said, "Aliko." "Aliko what?" He said, "Dangote." He said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm just a small businessman. I sell small things, salt and this one." He said, "Oh, your name shall be heard all over the world. You will be the richest amongst all." Something steered him up. Something steered him up to get up. Something steered him up. God has been directing you for long. Something steering you down, pushing you not to respond. But I see you responding to God throughout this year. Every of God's instruction for your life, I see you going forth for it in the name of Jesus. Listen to me, you will never be misdirected. That's why in the course of our prayers this morning, we are going to pray about all these things. I'm going to be telling God, direct me this year. Suspend protocol for me this year. Give me access to mysteries this year. Number four, how does grace make a man great? Number four, how does grace make a man great? He grants you good speed. Good speed. In Genesis 24, verse 1 to 67, it's just 67 verses where you get home, you can read it. Abraham was getting old, and Abraham said, he spoke to his oldest servant. He said, "My servant, I'm getting old. My son Isaac must not marry amongst these unbelievers. Take him to my father's land. He must not marry among these Canaanites. He must marry amongst my own people. That is, he must marry a believer." I want to advise anybody here who is in a relationship, make sure the person you are going out with or in a relationship is a believer. Make sure the person is a practicing believer. Say, "Get me a believer daughter." She might not have certificates. She might not be so beautiful like that. In fact, he did not even talk about her physical. He only mentioned, "Get me a believer for my daughter. For my son." And the Bible says, he went same day. And he asked God, he said, "God, as I'm going, I don't have time to read it one verse by verse, but when you get to me, you can just 6-7 verses, very few. Say, God, as I'm going, give me grace. Let me find grace. You, the God of my master Abraham. Oh, God of my master Abraham, as I go, give me favor. The first person I will see that I will ask, give me some water and feed us on my camel." Now, listen to this. Many of here who are people from the farm know how camel drink water. They drink water like anything. A camel can drink a whole tank of water. 15 gallons a day. A camel drinks 15 gallons a day. He said, "Feed, drink, give me some water and give this my camels," not camelo, camels water. And then she went, she did it. If it was a good modern day girl, say, "Oga, you don't even know anything. What is the need for me? I beg, da, get out here, man. Get out here, man. You don't know what I'm saying? Don't know what's going. You want me to stain my fingers? My nails? My polished nails? You want me to stain these nails? No, forever. If you don't have borehole to fetch water yourself, forget." She didn't say that. And Rebecca appeared and began to give him water, give all the camels water. And he was surprised. Say, "God, this is good speed. You have given me good speed. You have given me good speed." He prayed initially. He said, "God, give me good speed." See, one of the things that grace gives is good speed. He said, "Whose daughter are you?" He said, "I'm the daughter of so person." He said, "Take me to your father's house." And as they got to that was the fastest marriage I've ever seen in this world. It traveled the same day, met the lady. When he got there, he said, "This lady, I must go back with her. My master, Abraham, he sent me. He's getting old. He's about to die. He has just one son called Isaac. This Abraham is a very blessed man. Please, this is your daughter. We want to take her." And they said, "Okay, no problem. Are you sure? You want to take her? No problem. We allow you. But let us even ask the lady." No, in fact, initially they said, "Okay, we'll allow you to take her, but wait 10 days. Then he said, "No, 10 days is too long. 10 days is too long. I must return immediately." I said, okay, if you do not wait 10 days, let us ask the girl now. If she will follow you, follow a stranger. And she said, I will go with them. And they bless her. Say, may God go with you. May you become a mother of nations. And the Bible says, while Isaac was meditating. This is a wonderful love story. You can read it, just 67 verses. While Isaac was meditating, he saw from afar some chariots coming. I said, who is this? And then the lady also saw, said, who is that? He said, that's my, the servant said, that's my master, Isaac. And she quickly put on the veil. And the Bible says, the same day, he took her into his mother's tent and he became his wife. You know the rest of the story. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Speed is a function of grace. Anywhere you see speed, grace is at work. The place you are standing here is a replica. How many months? 6 months. This auditorium was built in 6 months with no stopping, no waiting, with no, there was no bloodshed on this ground throughout this construction. As massive as this construction was, how many trucks of sand and stones was under this place? About 150 trailers filled this foundation for you to be able to sit down here. No scratch. No scratch. Somebody say grace. Where you see grace, you will see speed. Anywhere you see grace, you will see speed. Many people that traveled 2 days, 3 days ago are surprised to see that they came back and the floor outside is no more sand. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I stand on this altar. From today, I decree everything you lay your hands upon will begin to gain speed in the name of Jesus. Your business will gain speed. Your marital life will gain speed. Your academics will gain speed. Your future will gain speed. Your business will gain speed. Your ministry will gain speed. Your life will gain speed. Slow motion is not good, though. Please sit down. Slow motion is not good. Taking one step every 6 years. It's not of God. I hate stagnancy. God knows. Devil knows. Everybody knows. If I sense stagnancy in the life of any of my people, devil is in trouble and he knows. Once I spotted that in this area, there's a problem. I don't need to tell you. God is a God of speed. Anywhere you see slow motion, it's not of God. Pa, 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 pa. Everything moving for you at the right time. This year, you will never smell slow motion. This year, you will never smell slow motion. Listen to this, every parent here today, all your children will gain speed this year. I say your children will gain speed this year. They will be moving from glory to greater glory. From one level, they will be phoning you to give you testimonies. They will be phoning you every single month to tell you things are working. Because it must work. There must be something to show for this year 2016. And it is achievable via grace. Speed is coming for somebody today, and no devil can stop it. In the name of Jesus. 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 Quickly, without wasting our time this morning, what are the secrets of grace? I just give you a few. We'll fire on during other meetings. Secret. What? How? What are the things that one can do to quickly facilitate this grace? What can you do? What are the secrets? Number one is the love of God. Every God lover is an engraced man, an engraced woman. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You see, a God lover is qualified for grace. Every God lover is a candidate of grace. The more you love God, the more he gives you grace. Your heart for God will determine the level of grace you can access. friends, I have never thought of what I can get from this ministry in serving God here. Never. It has never crossed my mind that, oh, yeah, so now I can. Now, I just love him. I just want to serve him. I just want to serve him. I just want to be a blessing to the people. If you are deeply in love, you have signed up for grace. When you see a struggler struggling with his heart is not with God, you can't love God and then he will leave you forsaken. I've been young, now I'm old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. You see, every God lover, it doesn't matter what is happening, everything must work together for your good. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Everything must work together for your good. Everything is working together for your good. Everything is working together for your good. There's a song like that. Can you remind me? No. What's that? No. There's a song like that. There's a song. Everything is turning around for your good. Everything is turning around. It doesn't matter how difficult things are. If you are a God lover, it is turning around for your good. Now look at this. For we know, I know that in your life, now look at this. For we know that all things, somebody say all things, all the challenges, all the things that looks very tough. Only for some of you, 2015 was a relief that the year is gone. Things were so this year must end on time. For we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you can love God the more, he will bless you. 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 And love is expressed. You don't just say, I love you. I know women and ladies here know what I'm saying. It's very easy to know when a guy loves you. I remember when we were about to get married, my wife said, I said, okay, marry me now. She said, okay, I'll marry you. I said, okay. So now, she said, no, let us wait for us. I said, no. I can't wait. I can't delay again. Please. Because the love was doing one kind. I think, I'm sure she can remember very well. She said, no, not yet. You see, I said, just let us proceed. Let us move forward. Yes, make her go your house. Praise the Lord. Love is expressed. Love, you can't love God and God will not know. You can't love God and it will not. You see, one thing you need this year is to love God. One thing you need this year is to love God. Just love him. Just love him. Just love him. Express your love. Express your love. Show him you love him. Display it. Say it. Act it. Show it in your behaviors, in your actions, in whatever. And before you know it, you will see him showing. God reciprocates love so much. God reciprocates love so much. Once you can love him, he will love you in return. For somebody here today, I see you enjoying that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Number two, secret of grace is humility. Humility. Our God is a God that dislikes pride. God has a hatred for pride. In James chapter 4 verse 6, James chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, God gives grace. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 verse 6. He resists the proud. He presses down a proud man. All our fathers, like our blessed father, Baba Yi Adeboye, when you see him, you will see humility. On his face, humility. On his life, humility. No wonder God is blessing him and using him. At 70, over 70, look at how agile he is. Just like just like what I told you yesterday about Moses. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7. At 120 years, Moses was agile. He was, his eyes did not grow dim. Neither was his natural strength abated. That is, Moses could still impregnate somebody at 120. That's what it means. He was agile. And the Bible says that Moses was the meekest of all. Very meek. Very meek. Very meek. Very meek. Very, exceedingly humble. More humble than you can ever imagine. A proud man has no future. A proud woman has no future. Once you see pride in a person, automatically you know that the person is going down. The next thing after pride is destruction. Once you see somebody who is proud, the next thing, within the next few weeks, few months, few years, the person will be destroyed. Because pride pushes a man towards destruction. You will never be destroyed in life. I say you'll never be destroyed in life. It was very clear the way Queen Vashti was dethroned. She was proud. Your husband sent for you. Tell him I'm busy. Your own husband. When you know that Sarah called her own husband Lord. A woman that thinks she's pretty, just God forbid that your husband gives you problem. You will see how unbeautiful you are because of the sadness in your heart. Keep yourself humble, and then you will see God lifting you always. Keep your heart in a humble state. There's a scripture I'm trying to get. Keep your heart in a humble state. Ensure that every time, everywhere, your heart is always in a humble condition. Don't ever let anything get pride into your head. Don't ever let pride get into your head. Don't ever let pride get into your head. Keep your heart humble. Keep yourself humble. And the more humble you are, the more you assess the best of God. For somebody here this morning, I see you assessing that grace in the name of Jesus. I see you assessing that grace in the name of Jesus. I see you assessing that grace in the name of Jesus. Pride is a destroyer. Pride is a destroyer. You know, you don't have to be proud by word. You can be proud by look. Your look, you pump out your chest more than your chest is actually pumped. As a guy, as if you want to blow. Oh, you are a lady. You are so. I mean, I like tush ladies. I like nice ladies, like every lady in our church. You know, wonderful ladies looking beautiful. But don't allow pride. Don't ever let anything you have gotten is by the grace of God. There is nothing you can achieve if God did not allow it. It is what God has allowed that you can get. For somebody here today, I see that grace of humility coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I see that spirit of humility coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I see that spirit of humility coming upon you in the name of Jesus. The grace to remain eternally humble comes upon you in the name of Jesus. Keep your head in a level where it's not bigger than your neck. Keep your head in a level that is not bigger than your neck. Don't get to a level whereby nobody can talk to you. Don't get to a level whereby your husband cannot talk to you. Your wife cannot talk to you. Your own wife that you sleep in the same house cannot tell her this thing is not. Don't ever get to that level where you have nobody that can encourage you and tell you this is wrong. Somebody sent me a text for Christmas and the person said, Pastor, I thank you for all the chastisement and the corrections. I picked that one out of all the greetings. You mustn't get to a level where you don't have anybody that can chastise you. And this is wrong. This is not right. This was the secret. This is the secret of many falls in the kingdom. Many people, especially in this generation. What are they talking about? I don't know what they're doing. No. We must keep our hearts in a place where God can still speak to us. For somebody here this morning, that grace is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I say it's coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I say it's coming upon you in the name of Jesus. Number three, secret of grace is intense
generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. Generosity always provokes grace. But this I say, he which sweareth sparingly shall also reap also sparingly, and he which sweareth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is a God that loves people that gives. The more you give, the more the grace abounds. Verse 8. The more you give, the more the grace will abound. The more you give, the more the grace will abound. It says, and God is able to make all grace, all the grace available to abound towards you. That you always having enough sufficient in all things may abound to. He says, because you are a giver, you are bound with good works. I will bless you so that you can continue to do what you are doing. I will bless you so that what made you rich, you can continue to do it. You remain rich and you continue to do it. The reason why the flow of resources of some Christians cease is because there is no outflow, only inflow every month, salary, and spend it, save it, finish. No outflow. There is no outflow. After some time, it will begin to stink. If you want to enjoy more grace, let there be outflow within your capacity from time to time. What I spent by the special grace of God last year in being a blessing to people is far beyond what I spent on my family. What I spent on my family throughout the whole year is nothing compared to what was spent in being a blessing to others. Friends, there is something in your hand that can bless people. It's important. If you want the grace to flow, let the blessings flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. This year, be an unrepentant giver. Be an unrepentant. Don't repent from giving. You can give after people might not appreciate it. Just keep being a blessing. Just keep being a blessing. And do it wisely. Do it wisely. What I mean by wisely is that don't give stupidly. Don't give to people that might not appreciate it or that might not need it. Don't give as a show off. That's what I mean. Don't give to try to show that I. In fact, most of the time when you give, you don't need anybody to know. It's unnecessary. Especially except if it's something that involves the church authorities and all that, then you can involve the church authorities. Otherwise, just be a blessing. Just be a blessing. And you even tell the blessing, don't bother. Because you don't have any ulterior motive. And then you see the grace abounding. For somebody here today, grace of God will abound towards you in the name of Jesus. I'll take one more. I have so much more, but I'll take one more and then we'll go to thank God. Secret of grace. Upright living. Upright living. Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. Upright living attracts the flow of grace. Upright living. Living uprightly. Living uprightly. Living in a way that can glorify God. According to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz named Job. He was an upright man. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He hated evil. Be upright. If you want to enjoy the grace of God, be upright. Be upright. Last night, God told me something. I have never read it anywhere. And he told me vividly, and I wrote it down here about uprightness. He said, when you are upright, things will be all right. I heard it clearly. He said, oh boy, when you are upright, things will be all right. Just be upright. Just be upright. Just try to be upright. It's a struggle. There's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh does not want you to be upright. It wants you to live anyhow. It's a new year now. You can do anything. You can't do anything you like. You must do what is right so that things can be right with you. Do you know I can't do what I like? I can't do what I like. Because if I like it, I might not want to be here now. But this is where I'm supposed to be. It is right for a Christian to be in church on Sunday. This is the right place. I might not want to be here. Maybe I want to be in Dubai. And I'm in a classy restaurant.
and I'm ordering some non-alcoholic wine for breakfast. But no, that's not right. This is where I should be, the house of God.
I want to challenge you in this year 2016. Work hard to be upright. Work hard to be upright. Be accountable to God. Be accountable to yourself. Be accountable to others for your life. Don't say it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. It matters. Okay. Are you telling me it doesn't matter if an unbeliever dresses better than a believer? An unbeliever covers her body. And a believer opens all her body. It's not. It doesn't show uprightness. And then a guy sees you, he's licking his tongue. He cannot concentrate on Bible. He doesn't show uprightness. His brain, it's in blood rush to his brain straight. We can't bring the world to the church. No, we can't. We bring the church, we take it to the world. We change them, we bring them here. You are different. You are not like every. You are not. You are different. Everywhere you find yourself, you are a light. I would say you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before all men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through to 16, 17. You are a light. You are a light. You are a light. Everywhere you find yourself. For somebody here today, the grace of uprightness is coming upon you today. I say that grace is coming upon you today. That grace is coming upon you today. And this grace will bring about multiplication. This uprightness will bring about multiplication of grace in your life. Somebody blessed this morning, come on, shout a big hallelujah. If you are blessed this morning, shout a big hallelujah. Listen to me. What a good time to rededicate your life to Jesus. To come to Him. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is calling you this morning. He's saying to you, my friend, come back home. Come back to me. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Let me change your life. Let me make you great. Quickly this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. I want to pray for some people here this morning. You're saying to me, Pastor, this is the best Sunday. I want God to change my life from today. This is the first Sunday in the month. I want you to pray with me that I might live a better life. I want to live an upright life from now on. Father, help me. Help me. Help me. But I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Him. Or I want to rededicate to Him. Quickly, raise up your right hand. I will pray with you wherever you are seated. Anywhere you are this morning, all you need to do is to raise up your right hand to Him. All you need to do is to raise up your right hand to Him and say, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me this morning. I want to give my life to Jesus. I give myself away that you might use me. I want to give myself away to God this morning. I want God to change me this morning. I want my life to change. I want a change of story and a change of status. I have just 8 more seconds and I will pray. You are saying this morning, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. I want my life to change. I want to live a more upright life. I've been coming to church, but things are not so all right between me and God. I want this new year to be different. I don't want to continue the same way. I don't want to take the same path. I want to change my story. I want my story to change. I want my life to change. Pray with me, Pastor. Pray with me, Pastor. All you need to do is to raise up that right hand to God, and then He will bless you. He will lift you. It will change your story. It will lift you up. It will move you forward. And your life will never be the same again. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Life is not only about coming to church. Salvation is the ultimate. Salvation is the ultimate. Salvation means if Christ comes now, you are going with Him. That is, you are saved. But if there's any doubt, don't deceive yourself. Quickly rededicate to Him. Come back to Him. Don't play the fool. Don't play the fool. Don't allow the devil to deceive you. I have 5 more seconds and I will pray. I will pray for somebody here this morning who is saying to me, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me this morning. Pray with me this morning. Pray with me this morning. Pray with me this morning that my life will change so that I might move to a new level. This is a new year and there must be a change for me. There must be a change for me. there must be a change for me. I have 3 more seconds and I will pray. You are saying to me, Pastor, pray with me. There must be a change for me. My life must change. I must not continue the same way. There must be a change. There must be a change. I desire a change in my life and in my family. Somebody somewhere is saying, Pastor, pray with me this morning. Pray with me this morning. Raise up that right hand. Let us see it very well above your head. And then we'll pray with you. Raise it above your head very quickly. And then we'll pray with you. Raise it very well above your head. And then we'll pray with you right about now. And your life will never, ever, ever remain the same. Your life will never remain the same. Your life will never, ever, ever remain the same again. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Blessed be thy name. Everybody in the house this morning, let's be on our feet this morning and give him praise and give him glory and give him honor and give him adoration. He has blessed us this morning. He has glorified himself in our life. Give him praise. Lift up your voice and thank him. Lift up your voice and bless him. Give him all the glory. Give him all the honor. Give him all the adoration. Bless his holy name this morning. Thank him this morning. What a time in God's presence. In Jesus' name we are praying. You are going to pray this morning. Oh God. Oh God. Suspend protocols for my sake in this year 2016. Raise your voice and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. Oh God, suspend protocols.